This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
WNYC Studios is supported by the community of writers, presenting live online short courses in the Writers' Annex. Upcoming in 2024, Sylvia Plath, James Joyce's Ulysses, and Emily Dickinson. Instructors include Victoria Chang, Robert Haas, Brenda Hillman, Peter Orner, and Matthew Zapruder. Learn more at communityofwriters.org.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
The last few months, we've been following the progress of a composer and songwriter named Michael Friedman. Friedman has written Broadway and off-Broadway shows, but right now, he's been following the primary elections across the United States, talking to voters and non-voters about politics. He's got a very particular method. He records long interviews and then uses the transcripts verbatim to create his songs. The New Yorker's Sarah Larson has been checking in with him, and they spoke about his visit to Colorado Springs.
When you write your songs, you talk to people for a long time and you transcribe. How do you figure out what to use as lyrics, and how do you figure out how to shape the song based on those long conversations?
You know, it's interesting. The song I think that we're going to hear today took a little longer for me because I was really intrigued by this interview. I actually did two different interviews with this young woman.
Mm-hmm.
And finding the spine of her story, which is a very compelling story, took me a little while. I just found this young woman in Colorado very compelling because her story, I felt like, brought to a head so many of the things I've been witnessing on college campuses and in cities. She's from the South and living in the West, so she brings a very interesting sensibility to sort of the way she's looking at Colorado as someone who's from Georgia. She's politically active and also in some ways a little politically discouraged, and speaks very beautifully about being a young African-American woman in Colorado, about being a young woman on a college campus. I found her both eloquent and at times also a little lost, which I think is true of a lot of college students now. So,
many of us.
And yeah, maybe that's not just college students. Maybe we're all a little eloquent and a little lost.
Did you talk to some native Coloradans?
Yeah, I talked to also a bunch of college students who had grown up in Colorado Springs, and I spoke to many an actual native Coloradan, some pretty intense libertarians.
Huh.
Colorado is full of really interesting, really smart, and really complicated libertarians, and a lot of Republicans, a lot of Democrats. Colorado is a state in which all the chaos of America seems to find its way. It might be the scenic beauty means that everyone sort of likes being there.
I'm registered in Colorado, couldn't vote in the primary. I had a class thing, so I wasn't able to do that. It's been hard to follow the primaries. I don't have TV, so the way I get my information is like Facebook, where everyone is posting these arguments. It's been really hard to piece together, because there's so much coming at me at once, and I don't know which one is legit. I'm from Atlanta, but after being in Georgia forever, I was like, I need to get out of here. First, I went to public school, like my mom's an assistant principal. There's a lot of corruption. And then I switched to a private high school, one of like 10 black kids, and that was a total culture shock. It was like, oh wow, people are actually rich, and they have a bunch of money and get cars when they turn 16. And politically, like they would say, they're gonna take my parents' money, and it's like, they aren't gonna take your parents' money. And senior year, I kind of took a break from religion, which was like a big deal. And I got in an argument with my mom. I'd always gone to church every week, and I had always gone through these phases like, yes, yes, God, then like, I don't know. Yes, yes, God, I don't know. So I told my mom I didn't believe in God and was questioning it, and she was like, I'm not gonna pay for college. So I had to apply for some loans, and it came down to like money, so I ended up here. Colorado Springs is a very strange place. A lot of religious presence, a lot of military presence, and a lot of conservative presence surrounding us, which makes people not want to go out and meet people. And this is supposed to be like this liberal school, but I guess maybe I just don't know what that means, because people here are very hesitant to, like, try and really understand things they don't know. Like last year with the Yik Yaks, oh, there's this anonymous app where you can post anonymous content, and we had this whole week where all these racist things were posted, like, go back to the cotton fields, like, black women aren't beautiful, and then we had to have an assembly on it, and that was a disaster. And the teepee is for NASU, the Native American Students Union, and the teepee has always been disrespected, and they posted on Yik Yak, which I guess is always a bad idea. Can you please respect the space? And of course, people commented about how Native Americans are alcoholics and our government is just giving them money, and don't play the victim and shut up. You've never lived in a teepee, and I feel like a lot of people don't even know that NASU exists. And I think there's a lot of things people don't understand and don't want to understand. Like in the election, I'm a little nervous. My friends and I don't know who to vote for. If Bernie doesn't make it, we of course don't want to vote for Trump, but we also don't want to vote for Hillary. There does seem to be on campus this big divide between Hillary and Bernie, but like, what is the appeal of Hillary? Because the people I know who are for Hillary are very for her, and they talk about her a lot, and they like worship her, and she's like really funny, and she was on the TV show Broad City, but a lot of times when you bring up stuff she's done that's not okay, they kind of just ignore it. I don't know. I actually really want to know who my mom is gonna vote for. I think she's probably gonna vote for Hillary. She doesn't really talk about politics much. I asked her and there was no response, so I just don't know. I know a lot of people think, oh, Bernie can't win, it can't happen in America. That's not realistic. And that's a big thing, what they see as realistic to what America is. Like, I try not to think about how I'm gonna make money. It's like one of those things that I know is there, one of the things I'm gonna have to think about what to do about after college that I'm trying to avoid, because I haven't started getting any bills for my loans yet. I never think about retirement. I mostly think about ways that I can still live a decent life. And I've come to the conclusion a lot of people in my family had kids really young. Like, my mom had me at 21, so she had to pay for kids and daycare and student loans. So I'm like, I'm not going to have any kids. I'm going to pay off my student loans and live in an apartment and have roommates. I'm never going to retire. I'm going to be working forever, if I'm lucky.
Michael, that's great. I love that song.
It always kills me when she says that sort of big decision she's made at the end. My big decision is I'm not going to have kids and I'm going to live in an apartment and have roommates. None of the things, not that there's anything wrong
and
with that.
And work forever.
And work forever if she's lucky. Yeah, the sort of culture of diminished expectations, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
and it seems like the way she says it is mature, not despairing, but maybe I'm...
Not the opposite of despairing.
Yeah.
This was an incredibly inspiring young woman. And so for me, it was complicated because it almost made me worry about choices I've made that possibly this is someone who's less greedy and that her realism is maybe something to be admired. Whereas in my case, the kind of idea of like dream big and you'll get to do anything you ever want and the world is yours is also the culture of like destroy the planet and don't worry about other people
exactly.
And be thoughtless.
Yeah.
Part of me wanted to be like, no, dream big. And then part of me wanted to be like, maybe you're right. So it's slightly heartbreaking and also possibly true.
Thank you so much, Michael.
It's always a pleasure talking to you, Sarah.
Composer Michael Friedman, talking with The New Yorker's Sarah Larson.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.